This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Monday, October 21st, and this is Season 4, Episode 10 of the Four Star Spurs Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony. With me this week, we have Sam.
Hi.
Lucas.
Hello, hello.
And Tommy.
What's up?
Well, before we go into this shit show that we have to talk about today, I wanted to talk about something a little bit more fun. And there was this big festival down in Austin I heard about. What was it called? Pochtoberfest? And I believe you went to it, Tommy, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And that was a shit show as well. but in a fun way. Coincidentally, I was going to be there that weekend for a guy's trip. Watched Texas and Kansas, which was actually a really good game. But I was told that Wes, he's the chairman of Nashville Spurs, was going to head down the same weekend. Told Austin Spurs, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. So a bunch of people came down, like people from like Brooklyn.
Did West, did he end up going?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a really good, I know West. I'm like, he's a lot of fun to hang out with. A lot of those Nashville guys are.
Yeah.
Yeah, a stand-up guy. I think a lot of us met him in Nashville.
What else? Like people from Milwaukee, San Diego, like Ben, he's from there, really good guy as well. A lot of people from just other sports clubs. Like, I didn't even know College Station had a sports club. People from Houston, Dallas, San Antonio. And I met actually some listeners. Keith from Mobile. Got a scarf from him. Very nice. Thank you very much. And then I met Austin Bazan.
Who asks a lot of questions for us.
Yes. Yeah. So, met them. Handed out a bunch of cards. So, for anybody that actually did decide to listen because of the card, thank you, and hopefully you enjoy it.
Yeah, well, great. So what did you guys do? Like, was it you just party outside, or was it an indoor bar that they rented?
It's both. Like, the setup is actually pretty cool. So there's the main bar area, and there's a back room, but there's also the front end where it's outdoors. So I kind of just walked around everywhere and just hung out. It's kind of in a strip mall, but not connected to a strip mall, so it's like a standalone restaurant slash bar. But yeah, it was like, I think it was a really good turnout. I would say at least, 150 people were there?
Jesus.
That's pretty good for an event that was just randomly.
Yeah.
And come down to Austin and celebrate Spurs.
Yeah. And I randomly, or Corey's brother, Eric, lives down there, and I saw him, and he was telling me, like, on average, they get like 75 people a game.
I hear they have a pretty good. I mean,
we get that for a lot of our games.
A lot
too.
Of our just, games too.
It but all that depends surprises on me. Who you're playing and what time you're playing.
Yeah,
but
Austin's a lot smaller than Chicago. That surprises me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm assuming some of the numbers are probably attributed just because Austin's a tourist destination now. You know, whether it be Texas, the culture out there, and whatnot.
So Austin's also awesome, by the
way. Oh yeah. I visited where Hank Hill lives on, or the street Hank Hill lives on. So that was kind of cool. If you're not a college guy or gal, I would say even visit the campus. It's beautiful.
But Boomer Sooner, by the way, that's Austin. I mean, we can get into that later.
Even
but
so.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thanks for sharing, Tommy. I'm glad that you made it down. I think it was a good event.
And absolutely. And it sounded like a very great event, and I'm glad you guys had a blast. And I just want to say that I will be hosting my own the upcoming month of November after Pochtoberfest. I'm going to have No Poch November. So I'm going to have a big festival, and it's all going to be Poch Out themed, and it's going to be grand. So anyone stick around for the details. We'll release them through the pod.
Oh, actually, sorry.
Well, that's going to get into the weeds, I think. But I think we're going to wait to get into the weeds.
It's going to be me at the Atlantic by myself. So
I have a quick thing. So when I spoke to Keith at Mobile, he knows I'm a wrestling fan. He's a big wrestling fan, too. He actually, I didn't know there was a name for it, but he called it Lily White Mania. So if you're going to WrestleMania in Tampa in April, there's going to be, you know, support, or they're just, if you're a Spurs fan, just meet up because Keith said they did it in New Orleans a few years ago when they had WrestleMania at the Superdome. So apparently that was a lot of fun too. So if you're going to Tampa for that, stay tuned.
I guess it's a Spurs event.
How many Spurs take WrestleMania? Going to be at WrestleMania? Like,
yeah, well,
make it a thing.
There are two.
You and Knight and Kevin.
But to be fair, though, there are two Tampa club supporters groups down there. So I don't know how big they are, but yeah.
Well, anyway, I think what we're obviously doing here is avoiding talking about the Wofford
game. Yeah, we're trying to avoid talking about Wofford.
And as much fun as it's been to avoid this topic, I think we do have to get into the weeds with this one. And that's this 1-1 draw to Wofford, the last place team in the league. They got a goal early. This was off of what seemed like a bonehead play to me. We'll talk about who the culprits were there. But we gave up a stupid goal, and we fought the rest of the game against the team sitting back with the whole squad just defending, and we had to try and come out of it. Dele Alli saved us, I guess, with a lucky
Ben Foster
play by Ben Foster, but Dele Alli did what he had to do to score and rescue us. But what do you guys think on this one?
Yeah, I mean, like, so I woke up at like 7:30 that morning with a slew of emails from my CEO needing a ton of work done immediately because there's a massive meeting on Monday, and I'm like, okay, fine, I'm not going to the pub. So I like hammered out the work and like just like finished it, and then turned on the TV, and the first thing I saw as I turned it on was Wofford celebrating a goal. I'm like, for fuck's sake. And then I had to deal with 70 minutes of us playing, well, 83 minutes, in fact, of us playing appallingly. Like, it wasn't just the fact that we couldn't create anything. It wasn't just the fact that we were pressing forward. It was just like, they were first to every 50-50 ball. They were first to every second ball. Like, and we just seemed flat-footed the whole time. In fact, my wife was the one that pointed this out. And I was just like, we just either didn't seem up for it, we weren't pressing, we couldn't, like, we had no inclination of, like, you know, the Spurs teams of 2016 and 17 and even 18, like, we could, like, we'd be first of the ball because they would read where
there
it was
going. There was no impetus or drive.
Like, here, it was just, like, a step behind every time against a team that was bottom of the table and hasn't won a game yet.
And I think there's two things there that are spot on. A is that you tuned in and immediately Wofford celebrating. That's something that we've seen now, is this pattern where against inferior teams, they seem to be getting the first shot on us within the first 10 minutes. That just seems to be a new pattern now. But like last year, there were times where that would happen, and then you'd see that like that was just kind of like the kick in the ass we needed, and all of a sudden we're just dominating, we're driving forward, we're just absolutely bombing balls in, trying to make every single 50-50. Everything was then a fire lit under our ass, as opposed to now it's we take that early gut punch through some kind of, usually through a bit of stupidity on our own fault, and then it's just, there is no kick up the, it just seems, after we let that in, it's just an 80 minute of lackluster. It didn't seem like there was a fire. It didn't seem like anyone was hungry. It seemed, again, to have two shots on goal after that, to play down 1-0 to Wofford after 6 minutes and have two shots on goal at home, is, it's unthinkable. I'm like, we should be, there should be some kind of hunger or at least effort that's showing that we're a little bit peeved at the fact that we're down 1-0.
Like, we've dominated possession in the games for the last 3-4 years, but the last, it's been slowly decreasing, like, the amount of shots we have per minute of possession, like, or however you want to describe it. Like, we had so much possession against Wofford, we didn't really look like scoring, and that's been the case for a long time.
Yeah, with that first goal, or Wofford's only goal, that was just a kick in the gut, because it was, you know, what, fifth minute or so, and even aside from that, the fact that they were sitting back and parking the bus, I don't fault them at all for that.
No,
because
nor do I.
They got, because kind of like Brighton last year, where they were parking the bus, they had to maximize their chances for the win. But like, even you can tell, like, they were still, they weren't, I mean, they had like what, 11 guys back behind the ball, but you can tell that they weren't like fully parking the bus. So the opportunities were still there, but like, there was no like I said before, creativity, motivation or impetus or anything like that to push a goal. And to be fair, we're lucky to get that 1 point, because with, if it was like, you know, Kepa, De Gea, Bowson, etc.
Or the penalty against Vertonghen given.
Like, yeah. It's just infuriating right now because we are, I'm not saying it's the darkest timeline, but it's dark times indeed because, like I said in the past, this whole calendar year has been one pile of hot garbage, and I just don't see an end to it right now.
Yeah, and again, I would say this is 100% the darkest time that we've seen under the Poch era, for sure. But that's one of those things, too, back to what Sam was saying with the possession thing. It's one of my least favorite stats. It drives me absolutely insane because possession doesn't mean a damn thing. Sure, if you have the possession, you're probably more likely to get goals eventually by just having the ball, but how much of our possession stats are inflated by us having no creativity and a lack of anyone knowing what the hell to do?
Exactly, and just passing.
Half of our possession is us passing around the box, like, yeah, let's play it back to Winks, and he plays it back to somebody. And it's nobody has a clue of what we're trying to do, and we just get possession stats for that. When people ask, or when people say, like, oh, well, we dominated them, I'm like, did we?
Yeah,
well, did we?
I'd much rather have, like, the Delhi of 2 years ago who, like, instead of side-footing it back to Winks or something, he'd be like, hang on, there might be a run there, like, try and cut it. And, yeah, he gives it away, but, like,
nobody has a clue in that final third what the hell they're supposed to do, and that's where we get 50% of our possession stats.
So is it the final third, Tommy? Is it the final third where we're failing? Where
it's
we're
everywhere.
Possession?
Well, I mean, in terms of possession, that's, like you guys are saying, that's a load of BS. Yeah. Because it's the way we play. If we're, like, playing under Jock Santini where we're playing defensive, we're going to have, like, 35-40%. Or if it's, like, Leicester when they won the league, it was all counterattack.
And I wasn't trying to imply that, like, the final third is, like, where that's the only place we're failing. I'm just saying that that's where that possession stat, that's what drives me insane. It's that possession stat gets inflated because of our impotence in the final third.
And also, like...
But yeah, we got
Harry Winks
all over the place.
More, like, for example, Harry Winks is, like, they say he's like Xavi. So, like, he's going to pass a few hundred times a game. Or he'll have that, or he's that.
It's a little bit early for that comparison.
Well, I didn't make that comparison. People have said that in the past, so that's not me. So he's supposed to be that type of mobile player. So, and the way Pochettino wants the system to be implemented, it's like tiki-taka, you know, the Guardiola stuff to a certain degree, or Vicente del Bosque with Spain. So there's going to be a lot of random passes just back and forth or circulating around. So because of that, if you're going to focus on a set of anything, it's going to be shots on goal.
Well, let's talk about the system that we're using. And we have a good question on that. Because we used to use a high-press system, and that was very effective for us when Poch first came on board. It got a young team really pushing the other teams back on their heels. But we've kind of shifted away from that, and I'm not sure that we have an identity now. So Joe asks a brilliant question on this. That's our own Joe.
Yes. It's more or less a summary of what Anthony says. In terms of style, a play/tactics, now that we are no longer a pressing team, what are we exactly? We seem to lack any overall identity in this sense. I'm just going to make a quick answer with that, Joe. I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head. The identity we have is no identity because there is, I don't know, it's just, yeah, you know what, Anthony, just take it.
Well, it looks like we're trying to build out of the back, and that seems to not work for either of our keepers. That we, like when we had Hugo, certainly didn't work. It's not working that much better with Gazzaniga.
Gazzaniga can kick much better as well, so maybe we should be looking at that.
Yeah, he can send the ball up the field with a little bit of accuracy. It might behoove us to try something different with this rather than this building out of the back where their teams are. When you have a team like Watford able to press us in our final third and start shaking things up and making us lose possession, we have a real problem with both our defense and just our ability to control the game. Like we've given up our control. Never mind the possession stat. We've given up control because we're letting them shake us up every time that we have the ball.
And I think I'm obviously, we'll go in later about like the Poch stuff, but which I have plenty to say. Everyone that listens probably knows my views already. But I think there's a thing with that pressing style and the way we train and how hardcore we train, and to not make changes these guys are getting worn down to a point where you can kind of see it when the press doesn't look like the press looked like 2 years ago.
There isn't a press.
There isn't a press anymore. But I'm saying the previous weeks we've still tried it. Like, we were still trying to press Brighton, and they were able to back pass through us. Like, they were backing their, or they were passing their way through the press as if we were pressing Barcelona. Like, they had no fear at all. And I think that's something too that goes with this zero identity, to answer Joe's question, is these bottom of the table teams can sense that we have no identity based on the way that they play us in these games now. Like, a team like Watford, just from the gate, just gave no fucks coming at us. Whereas if we had an identity, you might not see Watford Brighton the same way. Like, these teams are coming at us with no fear because I think they can smell blood in the water. Like, we have no identity. They're not afraid of us hitting them on the counter and recovering and doing any of this shit. They're like, we can just have our way with Tottenham, and it seems to work.
I got a question. Anybody, well, this was definitely the Chicago Spurs group, but anybody watch that video by, I think it's Tifo Football, about why Spurs are the way they are? One of the interesting things I thought, well, players are getting older. So, for example, Toby and Jan, it's clear that they lost a step. But also, the other thing is, and it's been mentioned before in articles, like, players feel like they've given all they can. They don't know what else they can do. And the other thing is, they're practicing so much and training so much, there's not enough time to rest. So, like, in terms of strength conditioning, is Pochettino just running them into the ground when and not hitting their peak when it comes to match time? Or what is it?
So the first thing, when you're like, do they think they've given so much and they can't give anymore? That's pretty much, like, that's intangible. You can't judge on that. Like,
right.
There's no way of quantifying it. The second thing, yeah, maybe. I mean, like, it doesn't look to me, and this is anecdotal, like they're playing for Poch like they used to. Like, but then again, I look back at the Champions League quarterfinals and semifinals, and they all fucking went mental to Poch when they won. Like, I don't know.
Cause,
like,
well,
how much of that was Pochettino, and how much of that was the fact that they just earned their place in the Champions League final?
If, like, I knew that, I'd be working for Spurs and earning millions of
let's
pounds.
Let's be fair.
But no, go ahead, Tommy.
Sorry, I'll be quick. The Champions League quarterfinal against Man City, semifinal against Ajax, both second leg, they did great. But they were all outliers for that year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, like, how are you guys saying, is the argument can be made is, chasing the Champions League glory. Well, that was their motivation. It was not Pochettino motivating him.
Yeah, the last five Champions League games we played last year, we lost three of them.
Well, that's what I kept
easy to forget.
But that's and again. So, like, again, everyone knows I'm the Poch out. But, like, I didn't. That's one of the things that a lot of people hide behind with Pochettino, is that fact that we went to the Champions League final. But it's like, If you look at the game, how much of that was just dead-ass luck? Like, if Son and Lucas didn't put on their own individual 45-minute masterclasses, that's probably not a thing.
Or
we got a lot of luck. We had,
so
yeah,
much.
We had all this luck involved, so it wasn't as much as skill. We still lost a third of the games in that competition alone.
I think that's unfair. I think, like,
we were 1 point out of nine in our group stage.
No, I know, but I think looking at the knockout stages, we were actually decent against Ajax at home, and we were amazing against them away. Like, even though we went 2-0 down,
but in terms of both legs, though, the only one that was
a whole
other,
that's a whole other can of worms. I didn't mean to open that up.
Yeah,
I didn't
mean
to open up that can of worms. Let's stick with Walker here.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to say is, like, I think that. To use, we can, even, like, because I would love to sit here and say that it's a fatigue factor on the way. I think a lot of our injury concerns are they're a result of the way we train. I think our injury concerns are 100%. Like, no team has the amount of injuries that we do consistently,
that's,
and they're just picking up.
Completely not true.
They're picking it's up niggles and knocks and everything. We haven't had Jan and Toby together for 4 months since they've been here.
But look at the amount of, every other team has a similar amount of injuries, if not more. Like, the last year and a half, we've actually had a problem. Before that, the two seasons before that, we were golden. We were like, we had none of our starters out for ages. Like,
since, whoa, whoa, whoa.
But like in 2000, 16,
our last season at the Lane.
Like, Yeah, but like it was still under Poch. Like you're saying, it took the 4 years for like the training thing.
No, I think we had the injuries, but they didn't have the same impact as they did. Harry got hurt every single year, yeah. And he still got the most goals in the
league
those years.
My whole point is, I think there's something different now, because I would love to say a lot of it has to do with international break too. Like Harry goes away and he's got to play 180 minutes against Bulgaria who was the other team that they lost to that was crap?
Czech Republic.
Oh, Harry had to play 180 minutes for you to get 3 points against the Czech Republic and Bulgaria? And so he's playing 180 minutes within 4 days and then coming back and we need him for Watford? So our international guys are getting run into the ground too.
They're professional athletes and they should be able to run for 270 minutes in 10 days. Like it's 9 days.
But again, my thing is I think that this year we can take fitness and throw it out the window, because our problems that we're seeing right now are problems that we've been seeing the entire year. And we had because last year we said, we had the most players play into the World Cup. And I completely bought in on this too. I thought this was 100% what it was. We had the most players playing for the World Cup, and we had the most players playing the deepest. We had 9 guys playing on the last day of the World Cup. Mo Salah, he got to go home after a week or two. Like, we had all of our guys playing, and I bought into that argument that was what it was. This year, we can throw that out the window. I think there's something else bigger going on, obviously.
Or because we're just having bad luck with injuries like other clubs have. Like,
I'm not talking, but I didn't mean injuries specifically. I mean fitness in terms of how we're playing.
There is such thing as
because you can't give me a fitness argument when we're giving up goals in the third minute against Brighton. That had nothing to do with fitness. If you're not ready to run for 3 minutes...
Even I'm going to agree with you there.
Well, we're kind of shifting into a general conversation, which we are going to have when we wrap up this Watford conversation. We need to talk Poch. We need to talk. We need to talk where we're going this season. It's going to be a painful conversation, but we're already kind of shifting there. So I just want to quickly do an MVP, LVP, get this out of the way for Watford and wrap up that story and then move on to a more general conversation. We have lots of good questions to go into there. So I'll start with MVP, and it's really tough. There were times where I thought Dele looked pretty good. Like he had some energy back, but then there were times that he looked like he was a passenger, so it's tough for me to give him MVP. I don't think Winks had a very good game, so it's this one is tough. I shouldn't have gone first. Aurier didn't have a very good game. Harry
nobody
was,
did
yeah. Aurier was fine. Sorry, it's your choice.
I'm gonna have to give it to Dele Alli, because he did have some nice moments. He got the goal. I want to give him a little bit of credit, because I think he is starting to fight his way back into the squad, and maybe that's a good thing for us, because we're going to need him if we're going to sit Eriksen. We definitely need a Dele that's competent in the final third in creating some things. So I'll go Dele Alli for my MVP. For my LVP, it's really between Toby and Rose. They both were the cause of that goal. Toby looks like he just doesn't care. They both look like they don't care. And I don't think this back line should be playing anymore. I'd rather have Ben Davies back there if it means he cares than Danny Rose. And we were talking about how good Danny looked at the beginning of the season, if you guys remember. Yeah, but Danny looks bad.
Absolutely.
So, it's going to go. I'm going to go with Danny. Danny Rose is my LVP this game.
MVP for me. I actually think of the starters that Aurier was the best, so I disagree with you there. I know he gave the ball away a lot, but like he looked hungry and stuff. I'm actually going to go with Son. I know he came on at halftime, but he hit the bar, and he looked hungry and he looked up for it, and he would run against players and he beat players. Like, yeah, he did give the ball away a lot and wasted a bunch of possession, but he was at least trying to make stuff happen, whereas so many of them were just like passing it between themselves, and then when they gave the ball away, just sort of like seemingly put a foot in. So I'm going with Son, which is very unusual for me to put a sub on there. For LVP, I'm going to go for Jan Vertonghen. I think that he was worse than Toby. I don't think Toby was good. But Jan also should have given away a penalty, because that was definitely a penalty. I cannot believe that VAR did.
Yeah, we got away with one there, and we didn't really talk about that much, but that should have been a penalty.
And he was, again, caught out of position, just a step behind. And whether or not that's him losing a step or whether it's the tactics losing a step, I don't know. But it to me, it shone through that it was him.
Yeah, good shout. Lucas?
I'll make mine very quick. I actually spot on to what Sam said. I was going to say Sun and Surge were my two. I know Surge wasn't perfect, and that can be skewed because I'm a big backer of his, but I thought him and Sun were the only two players that consistently looked like they gave a shit. And I got to give, at that point, after a day where it looked like that, I think that the effort was the only thing I could be proud of from that day. So, but on the LVP side, I'm like, I'm going to split it between everyone. I have nothing good to say
about
that
day. You're not
just going Poch. He's included in everyone, but I know that that's going to set up an argument that we're going to talk about in a bit. But yes, I have a lot to say about him in that game too.
Okay, tell me, what do you got?
Ollie by default for MVP, Rose for LVP.
Okay, so yeah,
nothing else to say.
He's got the same prediction as me.
It is.
It's
well, I wrote it down
about.
First, so technically I had it first.
But, oh, okay.
So you had the same as me.
Okay, I see
whatever
how it is.
No, but it was just a fucking hot mess. And while I enjoyed my time in Austin, I was so aggravated I could have thrown shit at the TV just because. I'm just glad we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
Well,
put that one to bed.
Yeah. I kind of want to start this conversation that we're about to have on Pochettino, the team in general, the direction everything's going. We've already kind of shifted into it a bit, but I want to break this conversation with a question from our own Rick. Rick gives us, I think, a very good question to kind of talk about this. Break it down.
All right. So Rick's question is, I read a lot about fans wanting Poch out, but from my observations, it just seems the team is lacking cohesion and confidence. Would a new manager be able to solve these issues, or should we stick with Poch?
Okay, so just to answer that question directly before we go into the Poch, like, isn't that the job of the manager?
That's his number one job.
Yeah, like cohesion between the teams, and like this is the same team barring Ndombele and Sessegnon, who hasn't played yet, that he's had for the previous year and a half. That's not necessarily his fault, but like we played some really good stuff at times last year, and obviously in 2017 we played some amazing stuff. Like I don't know if a new manager will be able to solve it, but like ignoring the fact that just dismissing it as, oh, well, the team doesn't seem cohesive. Like, surely the manager's job is to get that to that.
Yeah, so, like, what else is his job if not that? Yeah.
I'll think about my answer to the rest of it while Lucas goes.
Yeah, that's 1,000% what it is. And the question then comes, do you scrap the team or do you scrap Poch? Because these guys clearly aren't playing for Pochettino. That is 100% his job. It's not like, what's Pochettino going to do? Like, it's not like cohesion and all that stuff is something that you can just go show him an inspirational video in the locker room. Hey, I'm going to, let's all watch the Rudy speech or something, and the team's going to go out there and all of a sudden be cohesive.
I just want to break in real fast because there's three options, though. Scrap Poch, scrap the team, or scrap both.
No,
or close down the club.
But again, we have that. But again, we have, how much money do we have invested in this team? And we've seen that this team is capable of great things. And that's not to say that Pochettino hasn't done great things with this team either. And that's why I hate that this whole last couple months has turned me into like the Poch out leader. Because at the very beginning, all I was saying was we need to be looking and spending this year trying to find our new answer. And all of a sudden, now it's thrown onto, what do we do? Do we get ourselves a Sherwood that's like a stopgap, which was a nightmare? Do we find ourselves people keep throwing, oh, do they get Mourinho and like stuff like that? Like, none of those things are the fix. The fix is we need to find our next Pochettino. And what sucks is that all of a sudden this has now been, our lack of success has all, we've compounded in such a big way now into this suckiness that now all of these questions are imploding upon us, when it originally, I was hoping it would have just been, let's start looking in the future who to pick.
Tommy?
Okay, so Rick, I don't know. Let's start with the first part. Lacking cohesion and confidence. That's all on Poch. Because cohesion, if you're going to, you know, Trippier left, Llorente left, Vorm left, which just recently came back. That's your fault for not doing the cohesion, because, like, let's be fair, there's been a little bit of turnover in terms of the starting lineup.
Were any of us upset that any of those people left?
That's not the point, though, that I'm trying to get.
If somebody were to tell me that, like, Trippier was a massive part of our cohesion, I would have been like, get the hell out of here.
Well, he was part of the cohesion because he was a consistent starter.
He consistently sucked.
That's not the point. He was still a consistent starter. Anyways,
Hang on, so he did seem to be liked in the world. 25 games last year at right back, you'd have been upset if they sold me for 40 quid.
No, no, that's not the point, though. He was still part of the core of the squad, so you have to include him in terms of making the team better.
He seemed well-liked in the clubhouse.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's your point, Tommy. I'm sorry that I interrupted Tommy's point. It's just, I didn't mean to say that, on the on-field product, too.
I just didn't mean to say that, like, I mean, like, if you're picking one or two players, that's being specific, so it's like, go ahead.
Well, in terms of cohesion, though, that's, in terms of, like I said, Trippier was a consistent starter, so Ori is in now, Kyle Walker-Peters is in. They haven't really gelled with the team, but that's, like I said, that's Pochettino's fault, because he hasn't been integrating people. Or, like, for example, with Lucas Moura, it took forever to integrate to the team. It took him, last season, he finally went in. So, and the issue with that, though, is the fact that he did not buy any players. If you bought players before and integrated them in slowly, we might not have this issue. Second, confidence, that kind of goes with that as well, with the cohesion. But in terms of a new manager, it's more or less kind of what you said, Lucas. If we when we had new managers like Sherwood, Wande Ramos, Harry Redknapp, even David Pleat back in 2004, they were stopgap solutions for the most part. And when I say that, it's like
Ramos wasn't supposed to be a stopgap.
Well, I know, but recruited him. Yeah, but yes, but they were. But the performance spiked up a little bit and then went downhill after that. At least that's what I'm trying to convey. Right, so like, for example, like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, like there was a spike in points for him, but like, are you going to ride out that honeymoon period?
Well, they gave him a permanent contract because they're more.
I know, but he's probably on the hot seat right now. So I guess the question is Daniel Levy and the board going to willing to ride this out and be willing to see if Poch can turn this around? I'm not sure if he can right now. So, and if we do, I mean, are we going to, Jose Mourinho would, if he was hired, he'd be here for a few years and then just leave us and then we'd be back at square one.
Exactly.
So I'm not sure, like, if we find a replacement, we got to do it like in the same mold as Pochettino. We got to think long term for this and play the long game.
We have to find somebody that can get our guys to do the things that they're good at. And like I've always said, I'm like, our style and our talent is so similar to Liverpool's. We're not that far behind Liverpool in terms of style and talent, in terms of what we're built to do. The problem is we don't play that way. We don't have a few missing pieces that they have and a style that allows these guys to be the best that they can be. Imagine if we had the exact same style I've always used, is Mane and Salah, and their midfield is not miles ahead of us.
Yeah, it is.
When you, in terms of talent, absolutely not. They're not miles ahead. Sané's miles ahead of Son or like, Dele. But the way they play.
Player to player,
they're not miles ahead of us.
You're right,
the way they play as a cohesive unit is miles ahead of us.
Okay, so player to player will go, but like, the fullbacks are the huge difference. Like Robertson and TAA are probably like in the conversation over there for the best right back and left back in the league. So that's the biggest difference.
Right now in the league too, we're lucky that everyone appears to be sucking. Thank God for Sheffield today. I'm like, I don't know many people that can be proud of their success so far in the league other than Leicester. But I just want to say, Tommy, like to your point with the like the trip stuff, it's other than Ndombele, the cohesion part, Kyle Walker-Peters and Serge are guys that they've been training with for the last 2 years. There shouldn't be a problem with cohesion.
Yes,
these are guys.
No.
These are guys. Practice, Serge was our best player for the both legs against Dortmund.
I know, and I don't disagree with that. But
practice, so to say, oh, Serge is in now, so we all panic. Like
practice and game day experience are two different things, though.
Yeah.
You can do it's like, for example, it's like you can do great on your homework and study, but if you fail your test, I mean, that's the proof in the pudding.
It's just we have there again. To say that cohesion, those are things that Poch is in control of. And do I think he can fix it? To be honest, no. Because if you couldn't fix it the last 3 weeks, we've had time and time again layups Brighton, Watford at home. Like, those are the opportunities after, I don't know where, Colchester, that would have been a good opportunity to fix it. Like, we have nothing right now has shown that we're anywhere near close to fixing it.
I'm fixing it. I want to jump in with a question. I'm sorry to derail
I thought you were saying, I'm fixing it. Like, you have the answer. Like, tell us. Yeah. Who do we need to get? What do we need to do?
We do have a question from Suge on whether no signings is what caused this. Can you cue up that question, Tommy?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm getting there. Yes. Okay, so Suge on Facebook says, Pochettino says there will be no signings in the January window. If it was up to each of you, would you also not do anything? Or who would you buy and sell?
Are you seriously fucking asking that question? Of course I'd fucking sign someone.
Dybala.
If we can get Dybala in January, then amazing. But, like, no, we... hopefully Sessegnon's playing at left back by then. And, like, everyone here loves Danny Rose. And, like, we love you, but, like, you're done.
Wait, sorry. Who asked it? Was this Suge that asked this?
Yeah. It was Suge.
Like, is that a verified quote? Pochettino came out and said that we will not be getting anybody in the January.
He said that last week.
We can all confirm that last week. Okay, yeah. Well, then I just want to say that he's out of his fucking mind or he's ignorant, because he came out, his exact quote after we just lost away to Colchester was about the January window.
Fixing it in January.
He's like, we'll fix it in the January window. That's literally what he said. Instead of taking ownership, being like, wow, we just got our ass kicked and didn't fucking score against Colchester, he came out and his number one thing that he said was, well, these things, they take time. Like, we'll fix it in the January window, is what he said.
Well,
on October 1st.
By selling.
And now you're going to come out. And now after week of continuous beatdowns, he now decides that we don't want to get any. Like, he must not have a clue of what he wants to do then.
Well, and how can you not be looking for an Eriksen replacement in the winter? Because we should have bought it 2 years ago.
And
I can understand
the point of the January window, because that's where you usually will get fucked financially, because nobody good is going to be available for cheap at January. January, you're usually going to have to wickedly overpay for people.
Yes, but
so I could kind of understand from that point. But as of right now, if you have no options in your squad as to how to fix this, and you're backtracking on your own statements, I don't understand how we would not try to find some answer in January.
Well, see, that's the other thing. Euros are this summer. Copa America is going to be this summer again, because they're going to switch to the four-year cycle traditional to the Euros. So here, the flip side is, like, are you going to pay for Dybala or whomever in Europe, overpay in January? Or are you going to be willing to overpay even more in the summer if they're producing during those individual tournaments? Are you asking me or Levy?
Well, no, that's a very good point.
Well, that's a Daniel Levy thing. So I'm like, I don't know.
But Tommy, like, that's a good point too, because how many people do we see get overpaid for in following the World Cup or following some kind of big tournament?
You know what? The last few weeks I've decided the question is, do I fucking care if we overpay? It's not like...
Oh, no, God, like, no.
We're just saying, does Levy make a huge profit?
Of course Levy cares.
Of course Levy cares.
Like, Levy's never... that's my point, is Levy's never going to overpay for anybody. That's never going to happen.
No, but he drops $70 million on Ndombele, and, like, that's unheard of for him. Like... I know Ndombele was one of the most, like, hyped talents in Europe, and I was actually kind of surprised we got him for the price we did. But, like, maybe with the new stadium and him knowing the new match day revenue, like, this is going to be a thing. Maybe we are willing to do this. The problem is that,
if, like, not now, when? Yeah, that's what I have to ask.
Well, the problem is that the transfer fee is only one thing. Like, the wages are the big deal. Like, because, like, Man City or whoever, like, they might be willing to pay 50, 60, 70, 80 grand a week more than us. A week more than us. And, like, how do you compete with that, especially if we don't finish top four this season?
And that's the thing that I was going to touch on, is I think that's something that we might see with the Pochettino in, Pochettino out. Like, it's going to come down to, does Levy think that he can we, again, if we don't finish, we need that Champions League money right now. I think if finishing outside the top four becomes a real possibility in his mind, then we're going to see him probably take some drastic action and maybe be willing to overpay for people in January.
Well, Peter gives us a question on whether we're going to make the top four, doesn't he, Tommy?
Yes. Okay, so... yes. Okay, so his question is, do you think the new Amazon documentary is an embarrassing disaster waiting to happen, or another genius marketing move by Levy, like the NFL partnership and the stadium naming rights, etc.? I fear the former.
Of course it's the former.
100%.
We're just going to be memes again, like the fucking DVDs.
We just made ourselves the new Sunderland, like a laughingstock document. Now, obviously, they went down 2 straight years, so a little different. But we just gave, I can't even begin to fathom like the memes and the nonsense that's going to be coming our way in terms of like.
I don't know a single Spurs fan that heard banter. That news and went, yeah.
Oh, cool. We're going to be on Amazon? Sweet.
So it's just like, for fuck's sake.
If he said
I that, really have to deal with the shit from my West Ham mates again?
Exactly. So, if he said, oh, by the way, every like season ticket, bronze member, or whatever, you get a free Amazon Prime membership with it or something, I'd be like, okay, maybe. But like, yeah, we're just going to sit here and we're going to be targets.
No, I'm excited to see the documentary, but I wanted to see the team 2 seasons ago. That I wanted to see that story. I don't want to see this season's story in that documentary.
There's probably still footage of that somewhere.
Yeah.
They can pretend it was that season.
And I think Sam and I obviously are just fearing the worst in terms of the banter that's going to come our way. But I think in terms of, is it like financially savvy move for Spurs? No, because when you try to reach those new audiences through this method, you need to be good at the same time. So these people are going to be like, oh, Tottenham Hotspur, and they're going to tune in. They're going to be like, oh, what, the 14th place team that's getting waxed at home by Watford? So you need it to be timed up well. If we were thriving and firing on all cylinders right now and they released this documentary, I wouldn't be as opposed to it because what, are they going to show us how we lost in the Champions League final last year? Nobody can ever take that away from us. It's the worst memory of all time.
Can I just ask, like, is that actually that true? Because Chicago Spurs exists, and you guys are, like, I've said it since I've been over here, you guys are fucking amazing. Like, you love Tottenham, and you've been in existence since we were, like, not good in, like, 2011, 2012, and, like...
That's how we started as a club. The time you were there
way
before me.
We weren't great then.
But again, those aren't the people you're trying to reach with Amazon, is my point, is... Everyone in Chicago Spurs, like, found their own way, like, the original members and everyone, like, they found their own way at a time where it wasn't a bright presence or future for Tottenham. The people you're trying to reach by creating an Amazon documentary are the people that don't know much about football, and those are the same people that form all the supporters clubs in Chicago about United and Liverpool and Arsenal. They founded, like, those people exist because of trophies and success. So by using the Amazon platform, you're trying to reach that market of people that maybe might not understand football fully or just want to pick a team, and those are the same people that are more likely to just pick Man City or Liverpool or whoever's holding up trophies. So I kind of understand it. If we were firing on all cylinders, like I said, then yeah, there's no harm to it because you're going to be attracting that lower level. You're not trying to attract like new real football fans by using Amazon.com.
No, I do think Amazon is trying to do some good things with drawing in the fans around the world. Like I do think there are some good things going on with this documentary. So let me just inject that in there. I understand what you're saying. Wrong year. Like it's not going to get rolled out well as we're looking at it now. And that's probably outside of the documentarian's control that they had to, propose this to Amazon and get it approved. And I'm sure they had to jump through a lot of hoops to make that happen. So to be fair to them, like, they didn't get to pick the season they had. It's just the one that they were handed.
Well, I guess the other argument could be made is, how much access is Daniel Levy going to give Amazon? Like, full access? Is he going to do meetings? Is he going to do board meetings? Transfer dealings? I mean...
Oh, well, there's not an amount we wouldn't pay to be in the room for that.
Yeah, but I mean... depending on how it is...
Did you hear what Daniel Levy's saying during transfer meetings? I would give my...
But
it's salary.
It's safe to assume that he's a very guarded individual. So I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see the full story in general.
Nah, we won't. You're 100% right.
Well, I think Peter also asked us a question about whether we were going to steal fourth place, which is what I was trying to cue up.
Sorry.
Actually, not the Amazon conversation.
I didn't see it.
Fucking hell.
But I think we've kind of already touched on that. Like we,
it, I
like,
would say
there's a lot of teams playing bad right now, and anything could happen if we turn it around. It could be a possibility.
100%. Realistically, I think we have the talent to obviously finish third or fourth.
Of course we do.
There's just like, nothing. We're much more talented than Arsenal and Chelsea and United, which are the real teams that we will have to concern ourselves with as the season goes on. But
Leicester's
going to fade. They're going to fade.
I've heard that one before. Leicester will finish.
We've heard they'll fade.
But I think that Leicester will finish above at least one, probably two of the teams.
I just think we have the talent. We're more talented than Leicester is. We have the talent to finish third.
I've heard this before.
It's just are we going to find a place that we can turn it around? Because if Poch can't figure it out against Watford at home, Brighton away, like these are the teams. I'm like, we're going up against Liverpool next week. We're going to drop three there.
Well, no. We'll get to that in the second half.
But we're kind of getting to that point where it's kind of now or never. Like if we're going to see that switch where we can turn it on and finish top four, we're going to see it soon. If it doesn't come soon, we're probably finishing 10th.
Yeah, and on that point, I mean, there's so much to talk about, but I think we do have to roll into half with this. We'll touch on more as we preview the upcoming games. We're going to preview tomorrow's game against Red Star Belgrade and then Liverpool this weekend. But before that, we're going to go to Catherine Spurs Women Update.
Favorite podcast segment has returned this week for another healthy dose of finding out what's been going on with Spurs women. There's no need for chit-chat, so let's get to it. First, for the recap of the last few matches this past month since I was last with you. Spurs women lost 4-0 to Reading in the Continental Cup. Then Spurs women took on West Ham United women in the league as goals from Rihanna Dean and birthday girl Lucy Quinn catapulted the ladies to a 2-0 win, followed by another league match at home, but with a different result, unfortunately, in that Manchester United defeated Spurs at the Hive 3-0. And finally, the most recent match was against West Ham in the Continental Cup, where the women drew 2-2 and grabbed the bonus point that's allotted due to defeating the Hammers 4-2 in penalties in a cup match. Hotspur Sam on Twitter asked, "What happened in added time to concede two goals? As I wasn't able to watch, I tuned into what Coach Juan Amaro said in a post-match interview where the three-ish or so minutes that West Ham scored both their goals, our players just pretty much switched off and the team was punished for it." Switching gears now to the international break. It was announced that the FA Women's Super League Manager of the Month award for September was won by Spurs women head coaches Karen Hills and Juan Amaro. So huge congrats to them. Additionally, Anna Philby was called up to the Wales squad and received her first cap on October 8th against Belarus. Now, getting back to the upcoming matches, Spurs women play away at Bristol City on Sunday, October 27th, and then it's a huge match on Sunday, the 17th of November, as Spurs women host Arsenal at the stadium, as in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, as in White Hart Lane. If you're free or around London, support the club and this team. Then there are some matches in December, but it seems far too early to be telling you all about those, so I'll save them for next time. And now finally onto a question from the pod's good friend, Shubes. He asked me via Twitter, having seen them at Chesant and now at the Hive, have you noticed a difference in how approachable they are, etc.? I would definitely say yes. Although I've only gone to one game at each ground, the Hive was much more professional, welcoming, and seems to have an air of friendliness for post-match photos and autographs. Again, if you've never been, try to head to see them this season. It's very much recommended. All right, that's it for me this time. As always, if you have any Spurs or Spurs women related questions, shoot them over to me on Twitter to my personal handle, @KatherineRupp, or head up 4-Star Spurs on Twitter or Facebook. Come on, you Spurs.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm also Chris.
And together we do a comedy podcast called Cooking with Grief.
Each week we dive into four surprising facts about anything from science to history to the weird world we live in, making jokes about all of it as we go along.
You can find us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And you can also find us on Twitter @CookingWithGrief. No G on cooking.
Glitter, apparently, is so unique that it can be effectively used as forensic evidence.
The Bank of England's chief economist has urged to start using people's Spotify playlists as a way of measuring the economy.
In China, Avengers has been translated as Fulian, or Women's Federation.
Not only did the Russians capture the Crimean Peninsula, they also captured some Ukrainian military dolphins.
In Pinocchio, when the film becomes a real boy, in the original, it ends with a cat and a fox hanging him from a tree. And just
scientists have wiped a snail's memory.
And Slytherin's going, can we have an extensive series of tunnels, sort of wide enough to fit a giant people-killing snake?
Where do you fall on the scone-scone debate?
Scone, obviously.
Oh, I love scone.
So, what have you got to lose? Give us a try.
Nothing to lose but your sweet, precious time.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, thank you, Catherine. It's always nice to have the Spurs Women segment back. Definitely a good listen for everybody. Going into the second half, as most of you probably don't know, we're actually not recording at the Atlantic Bar and Grill tonight. They had a party in the back room, so we're recording at my house today. So we actually have a couple of extra people here on the podcast today. So many of you know my wife, Shannon, who's here.
Hi, how is everybody doing?
And we have Victoria, who's here.
Oh, hi, hello.
Now, Victoria is the secretary for Chicago Spurs.
But they've also never been on a podcast before, and they don't know that you need to do a five-minute rap introducing yourself.
I've actually been on the podcast before, and this is the most I've talked on it.
The biggest gift I can give you is that I'm not rapping tonight.
Into the mic.
That's into it.
But to be fair, yes, we do have two. We have Victoria and Shannon joining us for the second half. And because it's Anthony's place, we got like cats running around here. It's like a fucking zoo in this place.
It's a completely different environment than usual.
It's a little bit different for all of us.
But for those of you who don't know, Victoria, she is the person behind a lot of those promos that you're seeing on both Facebook and Twitter for each game day at the Atlantic. She's the person designing those, and she's been doing a terrific job with that.
She created our former logo, too.
She did, yep. Our first logo was created. You probably remember hearing Victoria's name called out for three straight years.
Thanks, Victoria, for the logo.
I'm drinking from a glass with it on, in fact.
Oh, yeah, we do have a glass with that. Oh, no, that's the Chicago Spurs original logo. But this is bad listening because nobody can see our glasses, so we should probably roll.
Let's pretend that's Victoria's.
So next thing on the docket is the international break, which, unfortunately, everyone knows I'm out of this conversation. I hate international football is my nightmare. So,
well, international break, I didn't even really want to talk about. I want to break the ice with a question that we had from, actually, I think it's a new... new listener, new questioner.
His name is Miles McIntosh. I don't know if it's the Apple or not. And when I say that, I don't mean computer. His question is, what do you think about Hugo Lloris being nominated for the Ballon d'Or? Was it deserved? I'll answer quickly, and I'll say no.
They nominate 30 people. Like, fucking Hazard. Like, even Eden Hazard was nominated this year, and he shouldn't have been nominated. Like, there's basically four people that might win it this year. They should nominate 10 at max. Like, Son was nominated, and, like, I fucking love Son. But, like, no. Don't nominate him for the Ballon d'Or. He's never going to fucking win it. Like, it's ridiculous.
And what was the. Actually, I don't even know if there was a last time that a goalkeeper ever won.
Well, let's explain.
Well, there was.
What
I can
is.
Tell
some
you
of
it
our
be
American
the caliber
listeners.
That Hugo is. So,
let's explain what it is because some of our American listeners might not know what it is. It seems like you have a good grip on what it is.
It's a vote for the best player in the world over the last 12 months. Like I actually don't know at which point in the year the vote runs from, but like I do know that at the moment the bookie's favorite is Virgil van Dijk, and second is Messi. And third is Ronaldo, and fourth is actually Alisson.
Oh, so I figured it would've been Salah.
No, Salah's like a couple of positions behind that. So like, I don't know. I can't see past any like Messi and Ronaldo have won. I think 9 of the last 10 between them. 8 of the last 9.
Well, didn't Modric win last
Modric,
year?
Yeah. Modric won last year. Yeah. So other than that, I think it's been. Ronaldo and Messi, and like it probably shouldn't have been Ronaldo this year because he's been still amazing, but not like up to his usual star. So like, I think, I don't know. I think like I'm a fan of Virgil van Dijk. Yeah. Anyway,
so before we go on to Sam's, I love Van Dijk.
There's no way.
Is there a next question?
There's no way that Lloris should be nominated. No way. Like he may have been in the top 5 or 8 goalkeepers in the year. He hasn't been in the top 30 players in the world.
And he had a howler in the World Cup final.
But that might not have been for this cycle, though.
Well, people don't forget.
So does anybody have anything to comment on the international break that we just came off of, other than too many minutes by Spurs players?
As a Sweden fan, I'm happy that they beat Malta. But I'm a little disappointed that they tied Spain because they gave up a late goal.
Can I just say that Tommy here is an American of Vietnamese descent who is somehow a Sweden fan.
And if you read my bio on 4starspurs.com, you will find out why.
He loves pushing that bio.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I want to generate website traffic.
That's tough.
And you could read Anthony's.
Anytime somebody brags about beating Malta, I feel like it's a next question up on the docket.
I know, but we got second place right now. So, and what? We got like Faroe Islands and Romania next. So if we win those, We're in the Euros next year.
Can I just say my main takeaway from the international break was that like Harry Kane takes a lot of stick. He's just like, oh, he doesn't do anything. He's a tap-in merchant. He's a penalty merchant. He scored a penalty against Czech Republic, but he did score it. But against Bulgaria, he had 3 assists and a goal, which he created for himself. And he also put players through on 2 more occasions.
It was a pretty impressive couple
really
of matches for Harry Kane.
And hence my point. Quit fucking wasting your talent for them and start doing that on Saturdays against Watford. Yeah. Or need to see 3 assists against Bulgaria.
Well, I'll tell you what. If we can sign Raheem Sterling to play next to him, I'm sure he will.
Yeah,
let's start a GoFundMe.
We need that.
Let's get that happening. Rick would have a heart attack. Again.
I'm staying away from that.
Another one.
We shouldn't go there, guys. I'm going to roll this along into the next topic of conversation. So we have 2 games coming up this week, and the first one's tomorrow. So we're going to have to make this kind of a faster conversation because it has a short shelf life. If people don't listen to it tomorrow morning, then they're not going to want to listen to it. So let's roll through this real fast and let me set up the game real fast. So we're playing in the Champions League Group B. Red Stars Belgrade. I'm going to completely gut their name as it's pronounced for them, but FK Zvezda
you're going to stay with Red Star Belgrade.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Red Star Belgrade. It sounds easier to me. But so that's tomorrow at 2 p.m. here in Chicago. They're currently sitting first place in the Serbian Superliga.
Nice.
30 points. That's 10 wins, 0 draws, and 1 loss. Their current form is 5 consecutive wins. Most recently was a 3-1 win to Rad Bograd.
There you go.
Can anyone else pick another Serbian team?
So note there that they played Friday, so they got the extra day rest prior to this Champions League game. And they're playing pretty simple competition that's not competitive with their league to begin with. Upcoming after us on the 26th, they play Radnik Srdlutka.
You're doing really well.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I'm trying hard.
It's like watching a train wreck.
My pronunciation. We have actually faced the Red Stars twice, both in the 72 UEFA Cup. We won the first game 2-0 and lost 1-0 the second time. But it's a team we haven't faced in a while, certainly not in this era. So this is kind of an exciting game. What do you guys think?
I will say right off the bat, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, they will not have their away support, correct? Didn't they get the...
I know Ajax isn't for Chelsea, but that's
I have
it.
No idea.
They're not allowed to travel for this game because of their sanctions, and which, fair play, because they are the biggest racist, anti-Semitic pricks. Like, these are just horrific people, so I'm very much hoping that we can smash them. But again, all the back talk about their recent form, who they got coming up, doesn't really matter. You play in a league that my Sunday league team could probably compete with. So it's about whether we show up. If we show up and they show up, there's no reason that we don't beat them by 10.
Before we go to Sam, we have a question, right, Tommy?
Yes, we do. We got a question from our good friend Kyle Mates. Lo Celso and Sessegnon against Red Star, how much do you truly want to mix it up with 3 points needed so badly?
So it sounds like he's asking, do we want to play Lo Celso and Sessegnon in this game? They're both currently back in training, so that is there. It's questionable whether they're prepared and ready to go, but what do you think, Sam?
I mean, if Sessegnon is fit, I'd like to see him play a left back. Like, I can see people shaking their heads at me, but like, Danny Rose has been terrible.
What about Davis, though?
Like, Davis has been solid and fine.
We can't trust Davis to do anything.
Sorry?
We can't trust Davis to do anything.
Like, I think we can.
Would you like to back up your claim?
He doesn't have an offensive bone in his body.
She just hates Welsh people. It's fine.
Say fuck sheep.
Once Bale left, it was just over for the Welsh.
I don't know if I really want to see them starting, but I wouldn't be against it. Like, I know Sessegnon can play pretty much any central midfielder outside position. So, like, he can play the Eriksen role. I know he can. Like, do we want to do it with his first role at home to Red Star Belgrade? If they don't have away fans, as apparently they don't, maybe it won't be as intimidating.
But this is a must win, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Again, but we've been saying that for the last four. We've made no changes, so I don't see why we'll see any changes tomorrow. But I actually think, to speak against my own claims here, I think tomorrow is the day that we don't want to see changes, because we're going to see a team full of confidence with talent that's going to come here and play an open game against us. And that's the kind of game that we seem to thrive in.
Come here.
Well, I mean, come to...
To Logan Square.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean come to, Chicago. But,
Logan Square.
But, I mean, they're going to come into Tottenham and they're going to try and play us in an open game. They're going to attack us and they're going to be full of talent. And I think that that's the kind of game that we'll see the best out of our Sons, our Lucases, our Canes, our Delhi. Like, we'll see that kind of counterattack flow that we did against Olympiacos. We'll find that flow. We're going to find our way to a lot of opportunities in the counterattack. And if we actually convert on those, we could rout them. If we don't, I think it's a very close 2-2 or like narrow kind of game. But I don't think they're going to come here with a lot of talent playing that open game that I think we seem to thrive in. And I don't think any kind of dysfunction in our team is going to prevent us from just having that natural instincts in the way that our guys are built to play.
Tommy?
Yeah, I'm on the same boat with you. Not seeing too much rotation. I think Ben Davis should start in general, just because Rose isn't playing so well. But I wouldn't mind if Lo Celso and Sessegnon were on the bench, because I want, even though Lo Celso is meant for the future, him and Sessegnon just both came back from injuries, so I'd rather not throw him the deep end too quickly. Also, just based off of our current record in general this season, we're ripe for the picking, if anything. So I think if we play generally a controlled game, we should get 3 points. And if we play, because let's be fair, Red Star, in terms of talent, they're not as talented as Spurs or Bayern Munich. So,
but again, nor were Watford, nor were Brighton. So,
well, yes.
Nor were,
but they're not even the same the top-tier coefficient.
You really did. Do you think that Red Star are that much worse than Watford or Brighton? Like, I have no idea. I don't follow Serbian football.
Oh, me either.
Thank God for that.
I mean, they dominate their league. There's nobody close to them. I mean, I don't know what that really means for...
But, I mean, again, Olympiacos dominates their league, and we had no problem going there and shoving two goals right down their throat in the first half.
And then
we let them back into the game.
That one I totally agree with you. We really did that.
We let them into the game. If we had kept our cool and closed out that first half, it probably ends 4-1 or 5-1. Like, we are in control tomorrow, and that's the problem, is why I'm so confident in our talent and our ability to do what we do best. But I can't see any reason why it's going to be any different than it was against Watford
exactly.
or Brighton.
You're the most negative person, but and you're saying like, oh, I don't see why we can't do this against them. But
that's
like,
my thing is we can't. We've just shown me no reason why tomorrow would be any different.
I am one of the most positive people, and the Brighton game was the one that broke my fucking back. And then against Watford, I was just like, yeah, well, obviously that was going to happen, despite predicting 3-1 on the pod.
What I'm interested in this game is what defense we're going to roll out, and we've talked a little bit about who we're going to play at left back, but who are we going to play at center back? I mean, do we go with the so-called trusted Vertonghen and Toby? We haven't seen that much from them the last few games. It looks like they don't want to be out there anymore. Or do we bring a Foyth into this game? But that seems like a big test in a Champions League must win. How do you make that decision?
Well, we're playing at home, so it's going to be a little easier. Not big crowds won't be intimidating. The only intimidation factor will be Red Star Belgrade's players. So I would love to see Sanchez and Foyth pair up. I just don't see it happening, but I would like to see one of them start and pair up with Vertonghen or Alderweireld, just because they can learn from one of them and they don't have to improvise and fend for themselves. Because, I mean, let's be fair, the experience is still lacking, and Sanchez is, while he does seem promising, he's been
error prone.
Yeah, he's been error prone this season, so you don't want to leave him with inexperience. And the flip side, Foyth, he's coming off his injury. So you don't want to leave him with that either, because you're just going to be hung out to dry. And with our offense, it's not been great, so they can't compensate for the lack of defense.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with starting both of them, although I'm still being the most positive person ever. I still think that two of them are going to be long-term centre-back starters, especially Foyth, who can play right-back better than Sanchez.
Yes, I agree with that. He plays Foyth, it better than Sanchez.
Foyth has the skill set to play defensive midfield as well. Yeah, he's never going to be Makélélé or whatever, but like, yeah, he can fill in there, and I think he's going to be a good utility player. But like, I do want to see one of them in centre back this weekend. I really do.
Anybody want to see Dyer back in centre back?
Oh god, you're damn right. I would like to see him at holding at least. There's nothing that Sissoko has shown us this year that says he deserves to be out there more than Eric Dyer does. I'm sorry, there's not. And this whole triangle shit that we've tried with, like, the Winks and
Ndombele
and Sissoko triad, like, that's a nightmare, too. Like, I would love to see Dyer actually get another run out. I'd love to see a lot of things, but I just want to say real quick, this kind of thing is exactly what my nightmare was. I'm going to bring it back to Poch a little bit. Is that we're now sitting here the night before Red Star Belgrade, and we're talking about all these nightmare scenarios, and it's like we were in the Champions League final last year. How did we not carry over some kind of positivity and momentum into this season? I just don't understand how we've come to this place, and I guess my whole thing is, I don't think it's going to make a difference tomorrow whether we start anyone at right back or left back or center back. I think we're going to see a little bit of change, but we also have Liverpool on the horizon, so I don't think we're going to see too drastic of changes. I wouldn't be surprised to see Ben Davis play tomorrow, but I don't think we're going to see, to answer the main question, I don't think we're going to see Sessegnon or Lo Celso.
They start might, anyway.
No, absolutely not start.
If we go up a couple goals, then
but
we
again,
might
like
see
the,
one of them
the time
come on.
To do that would be Watford, not this must, as we've all just said, it's a must-win game. The time to do it would have been Watford at home, not Red Star at home in the Champions League. Because, again, Sessegnon, he's used to playing for Fulham. He's never played a game for Spurs. Like, he's not going to get his first start in the Champions League in a must-win, end-all-be-all kind of game.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there. To answer the question, yeah, probably not. But I think it's time to start rotating these guys in for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's what the question's getting at.
Cannot agree more.
I think it's probably a good time for us to go to predictions for this one, and then we'll spend a little bit more time on Liverpool. Let's start with Tommy for his prediction first.
Sure. I will say 2-0, And scores will be
2-0 win.
Yes.
It's sad that we have to ask that, though.
I know.
Isn't it?
It was implied, but point. We've been so iffy. You know, I'll say Sun and Lamella.
Sun and Lamella. Okay, that's a good show. So, Victoria, what's your prediction?
I think they're going to beat us 2-0, Belgrade up.
You think Belgrade's going to win?
Yes, I'm pessimistic. Surprise.
So no goal scorers unless you have a couple people on Red Stars you've pegged.
No, I can't pick one. I can't. They're just going to break our backs. That's what's going to happen.
Knowing those weirdos, they might have been pegged.
I hope you're wrong.
Fuck's sake, Lucas.
And I feel bad for having such a... knowing what that is.
So, Shannon, what's your prediction?
I have no prediction. I'm with Lucas.
No prediction?
I have a prediction. Don't throw me in the bus like that.
Nope.
Well, no international.
I will take over then, and I will take the floor here. I think it's going to be 2-2. I think it goes 1-0 Spurs, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2. It's going to be back and forth, but we get two, and they're both Kane, but it's a 2-2 draw.
So Kane comes up big with two, but yeah. We give up two because the defense is leaky or the midfield
we're in shambles. We have no backbone right now.
Okay. Sounds bad, but let's I usually say sounds good, but now that sounds bad. But let's go on to Sam.
I have absolutely no confidence in this team at the moment, but we do tend to raise our game to opposition, and despite the 7-2 scoreline, the first half against Bayern was probably the best we'd played this season.
Oh my God, were we better than them?
Yeah, like even though we went,
we absolutely were.
Yeah,
so like we do
first
of
the 35th
minute.
We
were down 2-1 at halftime, and we were easily the better team at halftime.
Absolutely.
Oh I can't predict a win at this point. I'm going to go 2-2, hoping we raise our game, and I'm going to have to say I don't even know who he's going to play. He's going to play Kane, isn't he?
That's so why I just said Kane, too. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck's else going to be out there. Okay, I immediately just bet. I backboned it with Kane, too. I have no clue who's going to be out there.
I'm going to go with Kane 1, and I'm going to go with Dele Alli 1.
Oh, that is optimistic. As well.
Of course. I'm an optimist.
You're not
that's what we do. That's what we do in Europe. See, that's how we roll.
Oh, really?
See, Sam, I'm skeptical about whether Dele will play this game.
But he's going to come off the bench for 4 minutes and score.
Okay, so you're Dele off the bench. Okay, I could see that happening. I can't believe I'm the optimist here.
Predicted a win and a shutout nonetheless.
Yeah.
you're a Sweden fan. Your vote doesn't count.
But I think it's going to be a 2-1 victory. It's going to be 1-1 the whole game, and it's going to be like a 90-plus minute
melee
winner. That winner is going to be by Lucas, and the first goal is going to be from Son. But Harry gets both assists.
Ooh la.
So I think that's probably a good way to wrap the conversation. We'll all see tomorrow. Hopefully some of you guys will be out at the game with me to watch that one.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, well, those VA certs won't certify themselves, so
I'll watch them.
I'm definitely going to try and be there. So, like, I worked very hard today to try and clear my desk to get there tomorrow. We'll see.
Yeah, I did a lot of that work today, too, to clear things up. But let's move it along so we have a second game to talk about this weekend. And this one is pretty nerve-wracking.
I feel like this is
going to be
a short one.
Yeah.
What do we have to say about this one? You could list this entire sheet of Liverpool stats, and it's like...
Liverpool overrated that shit.
Well, let me set it up, and then we'll dig in and bite this one off, I guess. But Liverpool away, we're playing, so we're... You like to bite this one off comment?
I did not like that one.
Okay. Liverpool away, we faced Sunday at 11:30, so we are the late game. Here in Chicago, so hopefully we'll have a pretty good crowd. They currently sit first place in the league with 24 points. That's 8 wins, 0 draws, and 0 losses. So
they drew to Man United yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I must have did this before they played.
Due diligence, man.
Sorry. So they drew yesterday. Prior to that was a win to Leicester, a win to Red Bulls, a win to Sheffield.
The
New York Red Bulls?
No, Red Bull Leipzig, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
I was like, which energy drink are we talking about?
It's not Red Bull Leipzig. It's RB Leipzig per UEFA.
Well, continue. Continue, Anthony. Please. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was very confused. I'd like join the MLS.
A win to Sheffield, and prior to that, a win to MK Dons. Now that this has been totally derailed, let me move this along. Upcoming, they play Arsenal in the Carabao Cup Wednesday the 30th. Their top goal scorer is Sadio Mane with 5, Mohamed Salah is behind him with 4, and Firmino with 3 behind him. Top assists is Salah with 3, Firmino with 3 as well. And their top rated player is Trent Alexander-Arnold with 7.71. The last 5 times we've faced Liverpool have been 3 consecutive losses, most recently in the Champions League final, as we remember last year. Both league games last season.
What was that one?
Yes.
Champions League
final. And then a draw prior to that, and we haven't won since October 2017 against Liverpool. So a little painful to think about, but where are we at on this game? Lucas, you look like you're ready to go.
I think the thing with me is I would have been a little bit more optimistic if it weren't for the United result. I think that that's kind of one of those, like, bring you back down to earth, and if it was... If they beat United by 6, I'd be like, okay, cool. Maybe we can go out there and nick a point. But it's like, I don't see them dropping points twice in a row. And I think they're going to be on it. And again, all could change tomorrow. We could get our form back. But, I mean, we looked like we had our form back against Palace and then mucked that up too. So I just don't know where we're going to come out here and have a result at Anfield.
Sam?
So, obviously, I think they're fantastic, but I watched two of their last games in full against Leicester. They were good, but, like, it wasn't like they dominated them, and they got very lucky with a penalty in the last minute. Yeah, it was a penalty, but, like, it was a very close game. And against Sheffield United as well, like, they won, I think it was 1-0, but, like, they won... in a game where, like, they could easily have drawn or even lost. Like, yeah, they've been amazing, but it's not like they've been this, like, skies above everyone team. That said, they're definitely better than us. So, who knows?
And I 100% agree. Like, and you can take it back to their first game against Norwich. Like, that first day against Norwich, like, opening day, like, that Friday that started off the Premier League, like, they absolutely... were gifted. They had one of the worst own goals that we'll see all season from Norwich within the first 6 minutes, and that just kind of opened the floodgates for the attack. I think that, like, Liverpool's very vulnerable in a lot of places, and they've been very fortunate to get those results. Not to say, again, who are we to sit here and call them fortunate and lucky or anything like that? Like, we've been shit. But I think there are places that they can be easily hurt by the quality that we have. It's just we've done nothing to this point to show that we can actually get that job done on Sunday.
Yeah, of course. You just have to look at last year. Like, we lost 2-1, and I think pretty much all of us were at the pub there, and it was the last-minute fucking Salah goal due to a Lloris error. But we were the better team for most of that. Oh, my God.
If Sissoko puts that shot on goal anywhere in this... Yeah. Hemisphere, you know, we probably win.
Do you know what my favorite thing about that is? That Liverpool Twitter afterwards was just like showing like screenshots of it and saying like, oh, any other defender in the world, this is 2-1 Tottenham. And every Spurs fan is like, it doesn't matter who the defender is, Sissoko is kicking it into Rosa.
Yeah.
So like, I know Van Dijk is good.
Yeah. But there was a reason that Van Dijk was like, hey, I'm going to let you have like the exactly. like 14 yards of space, because he knew, he's like, well, I'm going to mark whoever's running on the left. I'm just going to let Sissoko put this on planet Mars. Like, it wasn't even close. So, I mean.
Anyway, like, I don't.
Absolutely. I think that, like, they can be hurt if we're, again, I keep saying this, if. But we do have the quality to hurt them in their weak areas. It's just a matter of, are we going to show up? Are we going to be cohesive? Are we somehow going to get our shit together? And for right now, the answer is no. I have no reason to believe that we will.
Their squad is better than ours. Like top to bottom, it is better than ours. Like, I know people here may disagree with us, but their squad is better than ours. And for us to
beat... But
it
was better than United's, too.
Yeah, but United-Liverpool is also, like, a rivalry going back 50 years. Like, Spurs, like, so the players and the fans might be up for it more. I don't know if that's tangible or whatever. Maybe it's not. But, like, for this, like, I just, like, we really need to turn up. And at the moment, I have no confidence that we will.
Well, if you're Poch and you're in the locker room, what is your strategy going into this game?
I'm playing 6-3-1.
6-3-1?
Well, it's actually a perfect bridge because Anthony and Sam kind of coincided on what I wanted to say. It's like, this is how we will finally know whether or not it's some kind of like distancing between the players and Poch. Like, again, rivalry game, players are always up for that. How are you not up for Anfield away when you let them get the 3 points in March, and then you had them for the Champions League final, and they took away the greatest thing we ever would have had, and most of these players would ever had in their careers. If you can't get up for this game, we will absolutely know. If we go out there and we get throttled or something, like, we will absolutely know that there is some kind of horrific disconnect between players and manager, and they're just out. They're mentally checked out. Because, I mean, how do you not get up for the team that just beat you in the Champions League final less than 7 months in, like, what was that? June 1st.
A team that's been embarrassing you since 2017.
No, June 1st was the date.
Oh, was it?
Yes, I was giving a best man speech. Hours after the game, I will never forget this. And if my brother's listening, you're a prick. But yeah, it was. Again, it's, if you can't get up for this, like, what game in football can you get up for? If you can't get up for going to Anfield away and showing the team that beat you in the Champions League final that you're still here, still ready to give them a game, like, and again, it doesn't matter about results. If we go there, we give our game and we lose 2-1 or something, so be it. But if we get throttled.
Well, let's hear from Tommy on this.
I actually told some people about this in Austin. I think that if the claims are true and the players are being overworked in practice and mentally, I think that Pochettino should keep it simple. Do minimal instructions, be like, don't press too high, you know, diagram it out, blah, blah. You know, stay in your, or this is where you're playing, this is your zone.
So more zonal than player marking?
Ooh, I don't even know about that. But, I mean, like, in terms of offense, like, you know, you see, this is your area. You know, I'll definitely play with a 4-2-3-1. And then, like, with the front three, like, you know, rotate if necessary. Like, keep the space out, crash the net whenever you need to, blah, blah, blah. But keep it simple for the players. And when you do that, just let their creativity and let their talent shine out. Because of this, because as right now, things are a lot, you can see that things are very frustrating. Don't exacerbate them anymore and give them strict instructions. Let them have fun out there and let's see how that goes.
And I agree in terms of keep it simple. I think that we'll see a lot of what I'm hoping for is very much like what we did against Madrid and Dortmund that time that they were in our group stage for the Champions League a couple years ago. Is let them have the ball if they want it. Like, I would love to see us pack the defense a little bit, like, not to say park the bus, but let them have possession. Where we've been getting exposed as defenders and our center backs have been a huge problem with that, but we've been in these open scenarios where we're getting caught a step behind or we're second late on decisions. Let them have the ball, and then let's let our guys that are great. This is, like, the exact game plan that we did against Arsenal away is what we need to have. In the one difference being, how about this time we actually keep our shit together and we just
and
don't...
And if we get a 2-0 lead, then hold
and
it.
Don't have fucking Sanchez be our right back. But, like, but that's what we did. But that's what we did against Arsenal. We let them have the ball and we said, okay, Pepe, or what's the guy's name? Pepe. Like, yeah, we're like, okay, like, see what your speed can do when you have the ball. And then we just broke them down with our counterattack. And that's where we're so lethal. And it doesn't matter about form or anything else like that. And that's the shit that's in these guys' DNA is when we get those counterattacks, guys like Son, Kane, Eriksen didn't even miss a beat. Didn't matter how out of sync we were, they were clicking. So, like, yes, let's let them have the ball, try and break us down. What, are we going to beat them in an open game? Well, let them have the ball.
Well, do you remember 2017 was the last time we beat them, and that was a 4-1 victory. Do you remember how we did that?
Let them have the ball.
Absolutely fucking crushed them.
And they also had well, that was also Lovren. Lovren made two of the best mistakes I've ever seen in the first half and got subbed out at halftime. But that was also exactly the same thing.
Victoria, did you
bashed him in the counter.
Say, I remember that day forever for the rest of my life. That was marvelous.
Yeah.
it was a marvelous performance. So do we go back to that?
But that's an ego thing.
No,
it's
because
like,
that was at home.
It was at Wembley. It's not home.
It was technically home. All right, fine, whatever. But like, we're not going to go to Anfield and be able to like do them like that. Like, they are a better team, and we have to admit that they're a better team.
That's
but
what
we
ego.
Have so much fucking talent on our squad. That, like,
that's
we,
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like, let them have the ball, and we can do our thing. Like, we can't go try and press them and play an open game.
Wanna,
otherwise, it's going to be a nightmare.
I don't want to see us in a position where we were against Brighton or Watford, where like we have the ball and we pass it around there around their penalty box, because one, we're very unlikely to break them down because they have fucking an amazing defense with perhaps the two best fullbacks in the league, and almost certainly the best center back in the league. It just depends on if they play Martip or Gomez or whoever. They're like we're just not going to break them down like that. And then they also have the pace and the skill on the break that if we get caught out there, we're in trouble.
Thank you. And that was literally all I've been trying to say. Like, with I'm waving, as nobody can see, Sam's talking. I'm sitting here waving my hand. I'm completely, completely agreeing with him. It's not only do we not know what to do when we're in that final third and we're passing the ball around, but when we lose it, and we eventually will because no one knows what they're doing, we're somehow going to turn it over. We are now in the most vulnerable position thinkable against a team that could not be more lethal in that counterattack. So my whole point is, do not give them that opportunity. Let's play like we're Watford at Spurs, like in that Wembley game, or like the Burnley one that I love to reference when they had Joe Hart getting time-wasting yellows in the first half.
That was
like,
amazing.
Yeah, oh, just exactly. But let's park the bus and make them play out of their comfort zone. And when we do win the ball in our half, we now have the counterattack going forward, and that's where our guys, without form or thinking, can be in their comfort zone.
So both Son and Mora in this game, then, you think?
I wouldn't mind it.
No Eriksen.
But this is where Kane could be
Eriksen's
the most...
not going to sniff the... We haven't talked to
he
Eriksen.
He will start.
But in a game like this, that could be Eriksen's. If we're going to let them have the ball,
yeah.
Eriksen's
hurt, yeah.
Yeah, but
hopefully he stays hurt.
He's
then.
Hurt.
He has a dead leg. Let's celebrate.
Sorry for the listeners. Like, I was doing the quotey thing. Like,
air quotes.
He's got a dead leg, which is like when you're at school, it's like code for like can't be asked.
But again, it's one of those. Again, I don't. Lucas, Son, Kane, Dele, all of those guys. Like, if we're in a situation where we're playing counterattack and we're letting you have the ball, there's not one of them that won't be in their wheelhouse when we get the ball, which we will. But we can't be in an open game. Otherwise, we're just going to get torn to shreds. If Newcastle, Burnley, whoever want, or not Burnley, they haven't played us yet. Newcastle, Watford, Brighton, if any of these guys can, like, win the ball and, like, oh, Villa, that's the one I was thinking, same colors.
Well,
if
I think
Villa can do it, like, wait till Liverpool gets the ball and we're in an absolutely out-of-defensive position. It's going to be a nightmare.
I think, to your point, though, we're going to have some people doing a fantastic job of getting that ball through the midfield, whether it be box-to-box action, and maybe that's Ndombele doing something similar to that, or maybe it's Winks having a really good passing game, but we're going to need to do something.
But it's about the ego to say that that's...
Spring
about,
the counterattack in
this
play.
Like Ndombele and Winks, I both absolutely think are fantastic. I really do. But, like,
how do you not have a Dyer start in that game at Anfield?
Like,
you have to have
the
Dyer. You need somebody that can win the ball and get us these opportunities.
But Dyer was incredibly rusty in the last game.
Because he's not playing.
Okay, so
let's give him a run out.
He was, but, like, do you want his run out to begin or, like, the second game at Anfield?
Who else? I mean, do you have confidence in...
I don't have a confidence
like Sissoko
or fuck no.
You know anybody else in the central midfield?
No,
though?
I don't know. Like, I don't really know. Like, I'm sure we can.
We
talk
know
about
that Dyer can play in these big games. Let's let him do it.
And I think I agree. I think Dyer should start. I just don't know where. because I haven't in my mind. I'm sure we'll come to this in a minute, but like the formation, I don't know if even I want Dyer starting at right centre back.
That's your
thing. Or because I want him there because I know we can move him to DCM or we can move him to a centre midfield if we want.
That was actually after I said 4-2-3-1, I'm like, we might have to play three at the back just because of Salah, Mane, and Firmino. That's
Salah's injured.
Is he really?
Yes.
Is he out? Is he out next week for sure?
I believe so.
Hopefully, he stays injured for a while.
There's a small chance he might be back, but I don't think so.
All right. Well, I know he didn't play last week, but like,
okay. Well, if they have a three-pronged attack
that's
like that, it's
awesome.
Go us.
Yeah. But that's one very talented player, and they have lots of other talent. I mean, it's a bonus, but
they still have all the other lethal ones we have to worry about.
We're not suggesting, by the way, that you should go out and try and injure Firmino or Mane.
So no Jeff Galuli.
Nancy Harding or whatever her name was. Tanya Harding.
Yeah. Extra points for blood.
I'm not even going there.
Well, any other thoughts on how we set up for this? Like we've talked a little bit about formation.
Here's another thing though. The way that Liverpool play, it's the way that we've seen Tottenham play in the past. So the game is going to be open ended.
That's only if we let it be.
Yes.
Though.
Well, here's the thing though. So like, I still think we need the three attacking midfielders because we just based off we've seen with the three center midfielders and the two attacking midfielders, it just looked like shit.
But like last season, we set up with against Chelsea with Dele like man marking Jorginho, and it worked fantastically, and we crushed them.
But that was so different because Jorginho was like their linchpin. Without Jorginho, they were so baffled. Like we were the first ones to try that. Just mark this guy. Like they're only,
everybody.
He
did
was
it
their
after
linchpin.
That.
After we did it, everyone copied us. Like Liverpool doesn't have one guy that's like their linchpin.
No, of course they don't. But they have like Fabinho, and like if you try and tack on to someone who's like their equivalent of our Winks or whatever, like if I think you can take them out, they're Henderson who does this, and like Henderson is not crap, and I will fucking die on this hill. But
well, he's a prick, and he got a red card for mugging somebody against us in like a U-23s game. He's a murderer. But I will agree. I'm gonna just jump in and agree with Sam. Like I would love to try, like again, try something different. Try marking one of their guys that we feel is like one of their most like very similar to that Jorginho aspect. They don't have one that's their ultimate linchpin, but if you can mark somebody that's very involved in their build-up play or something that could maybe throw them off, I think it's worth trying. Because, again, if we roll out there and we just try exactly what we've been rolling out the last couple fucking months, it's going to be a fucking bloodbath. So I agree to try something different. Try marking somebody. Maybe it's Henderson. I don't know. But, like, we have to try and do something that they're not used to.
Man mark the keeper.
Like I wouldn't care. Like, just have Kane stand back there and just be like, yo, Allison, you're not getting any balls by me.
I used to do this in Championship Manager when I used to play. Yeah, like, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, it's about ego for us. If we can take the ego out of it and say, look, it's okay to go to Anfield and get a point. If we go to Anfield and try to get a point, that's okay. We don't need to try and play Tottenham Hotspur football.
A draw would be a win here because we haven't won.
It'd be really optimistic. Forever.
Yeah, but I mean, if we can
I would
go,
be very happy.
We
with
need
the
to
draw.
Take the ego out of it and be like, look, this is okay. Letting them have the ball, let them do their thing. If we can find a way to get a point, that's all right. We did it at the Etihad. We did it at fucking Emirates. Like.
We did it at the Etihad. We were the luckiest team I've ever seen.
Well, I would hope to try the same strategy and be lucky again, then run out what we've been doing and hope that that works, because that's got 8-0 written all over it.
Like, oh yeah, but you know what? So did the fucking scoreline at the Etihad. If you look at, like, I hate to draw this stat out, but the XG, we had, like, literally two shots on goal, and both of them went in. And by expected goals, we should have lost like 4-0.1. Like, it was insane how much they crushed us.
I'm just saying it'll be ridiculous to go out there with what we've been doing and expect that to get us a result.
Well, I think that's probably a good place to move on to predictions. So let's start the other direction this time for predictions and start with you, Sam.
I have literally never predicted a loss for Spurs on this pod, and I'm going to do it today. I just, like, the last two games, we scored one goal because of a massive goalkeeping error in 185, 189, 190 minutes against Watford and Brighton, one goal. And now we're playing Liverpool with probably the two best fullbacks in the league and almost certainly the best centre-back in the league and a great goalkeeper. Well, a good goalkeeper because there are many ones. I am going to go... I'm going to go 3-1 Liverpool. And I think that's optimistic.
I know, but I hate going after you when I was about to predict the same score.
Nobody can see
optimistic.
This.
You guys are so optimistic.
But I wrote the same thing as
you. If he says 3-1, I'm going to lose.
3-1.
I had 3-1 in my head as well, actually.
3-1 Liverpool, and I'm going, I've got to go Kane,
I
guess.
I was going to say, if you said Son, that's the only difference.
I literally wrote Son.
Lucas. I'll make this quick. Yeah, 3. I don't see any reason why we change the way we've been playing, so... 3-1, they're going to have control. We're going to get one late. It'll be 3-1, cold to sun.
Okay, Shannon.
I wish I could be more optimistic. I wish I could be more optimistic, but no. 3-1. Yeah. 3-1?
Okay, who's your goal scorer?
I feel like a trendsetter.
Sun!
Sun.
You're stealing my shit. Sorry.
Victoria, what do you have?
I think I might be the most pessimistic one here, but I'm thinking we're going to lose 4-0, 2 for Firmino and 2 for Mane.
No,
you don't have to predict the away scores, you fucking narc.
For fuck's sake.
Okay. I'm calling it and I'm right.
You don't get points for calling who scores against us.
Why? Why not? We're shit right now. Why not? Because I wrote the rules. Give me a little joy in life.
Those are the rules.
But if you want to, we can change this.
To be fair, I tried that to get points and didn't work for me two seasons ago. So tell me, what do you have?
Same thing as your wife and Lucas, 1-3. Son gets the goal.
I think the wife wins, by the way.
Wait, what?
Nothing.
We just don't win at Anfield. So
did in 2011.
Van der Vaart.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Most of us were still young then.
Yeah.
I know I was.
People don't forget.
I just can't see it being a win at all. I'm going to say it's 4-1. Harry gets our one goal. I'm not going to predict theirs. It doesn't matter.
We're going to score 4 own goals on us.
Well, any final thoughts before we move on. I did want to give a shout out to John, who was at this Watford game that we talked about. Also wanted to give a shout out Chicago Red Stars. That's the Red Stars we like. It's women's soccer or football in the United States, and they're going to the final. They won their playoff this past Saturday. So Jen and Victoria, you both were there, right?
You were there with us. And the Red Stars, the Chicago Red Stars, are going to play North Carolina in their first ever National Women's Soccer League final. So it's a pretty big deal. It's on Saturday. It's on Sunday
after Liverpool. Right after
the Liverpool match. So there's that.
Can we all watch it at the Atlantic together?
No, we'll have to cross town and go to another bar that will not be mentioned.
And I would like to say then, following up on the last thoughts for the podcast. Again, if anybody would like to join, following Potchtober, again, I will be hosting No Potch November. Details to come. Just message me on Twitter.
And we'll see how long you last.
And so, No Potch November. It's going to be a banger. We're going to have a massive party, and
it'll be a banger.
Yep, we're going to
play
some fan favorites, and we're going to play some fan favorite moments from this campaign. So, that was my final thoughts, Anthony.
Well,
finish this up.
I think we've finally gone completely off the rail. So, I am going to wrap this up now. So,
Thanks to Sam for editing and sound, Charlie for the music, Kevin for social media, Catherine for the Spurs Women update, Kimberly for the logo, and Shannon for allowing us to use our kitchen to record this episode.
Shannon is, by the way, Anthony's wife. So he's
hit the subscribe button and write us a review on iTunes if you like our pod, or give us a review wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook at 4 Star Spurs and our website at 4starspurs.com. Come on, you Spurs.